a magical kingdom in a mixed up world. You're in the sweet spot, baby. You're in the sweet spot, girl. You're in the sweet spot, darling. It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world.
Welcome to the Sweet Spot Podcast. My name is Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host. Ken, how's it going?
Oh, Lynn, it is going. It is going. I am so happy to be here for this episode of the Sweet Spot Podcast.
That's right. We are both former Disneyland Custodial cast members, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We're also the authors of the books Cleaning the Kingdom. We have two titles, Cleaning the Kingdom, with two different subtitles, totally different stories in each book. And you can get both of those books on Amazon. Those are paperback. You can also get them through Kindle in the digital versions, and wherever digital books are found. There's also on like on iTunes and our Apple Books. Also, you can get both of them on audio and wherever audiobooks found, like Audible. And also, you can get our second book signed and by both of us, and we'll mail that out to you. And just the second book for now. We might have more in August. We'll see. But yeah, you can do that. And also, if you'd like to help support the show, we'd really appreciate it. And we have some fun perks that come along with that. For $5 or more per month, you can get one bonus episode that Ken and I record specifically for the Patreons. And also, you can join us once a month for our current events live, like last week, you heard. And that's fun because people get to comment and they have fun in the chat room. And it's a good way to get to know other Disneyland fans, Sweet Spot fans, in fact. So that, if you go to patreon.com and search The Sweet Spot, that's Patreon. And if you can't remember that, go to thesweetspot.com and look for the Patreon link. Also, we will be at D23, the ultimate fan event. And that is in August 9th, 10th, 11th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we will be at Laughing Places booth at specific times. And those times will be announced probably a few weeks before, maybe a month before. We got to finalize all that. But it'll just be for a few hours each day. And so if you're going to that, we'd love to talk with you and say hi. All right. I wanted to ask you, Ken, who's our guest tonight?
Well, first of all, I was just noticing that this is episode 387.
That's right. It is. I'm losing count.
I can't believe it. I mean,
I know.
It's just absolutely amazing. And it's a lot of hard work that's gone in, and that's incredible. So we have a husband and wife on the program, Debbie and Dennis Hannon. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. They met working at Disneyland. So we're going to ask them about their time there and get some of their stories. I'm looking forward to it. It was back in the 70s that they started there.
Yeah. I always love talking to cast members, and we try to talk to all cast members that worked in all different departments, not just custodial. Although custodial is the best, but no, just kidding. But no, we try to talk with everyone because I think that everyone had the same vision, you know, to provide good for the guests. So anyways, let's get right into that. But before we do, we have a few messages. Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. Contact me at L Barron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com.
Now your adventure through inner space has begun. Through the mighty microscope, you will travel into the incredible universe found within a tiny fragment of a snowflake. I am the first person to make this fabulous journey. Suspended in the timelessness of inner space are the thought waves of my first impressions. They will be our only source of contact once you have passed beyond the limits of normal
magnification. 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 Magnification.
Secure ship for sea. Make all preparations for getting underway.
Aye, aye, sir. All hands to stations. Single up all lines. Cast off forward. Cast off aft. Clear the bridge. Clear the bridge. Secure hatches and vents. Stand by engines. All station command, sir. Ship rig for getting underway.
So, Debbie, I'm going to ask you a question first, and I thought I'd ask you, did you grow up going to Disneyland? You said you told us off air that you grew up in Anaheim. Did you get a chance to go to Disneyland growing up?
Yes, I did. From the time I was really little, my parents took me. It was one of those trips that we would, if they had the money, mm-hmm. we'd go to Disneyland. My dad loved Disneyland. My dad worked on the Mission to Mars concept. He got to help with that. He worked at McDonnell Douglas, and they came to mm-hmm. him and asked him what he thought about it. And so he was always so proud to take me to Disneyland so he could go to Mission to Mars. So,
oh, how nice. So how about you, Dennis? Is that something you did? Did you grow up in Anaheim or that area?
No, I grew up in the Pomona Valley area.
Okay.
So our going to Disneyland was through a lot of roads, because at that time there were no freeways directly from Pomona to Anaheim going mm-hmm. through the Brea Canyon area. Mm-hmm. But when I started working there, yeah, that's how I got to Disneyland, was through the canyon.
So when was your first time at Disneyland? Was it before you worked there?
Oh, yeah, I was a kid, okay. but, mm-hmm. you know, that was in the 60s.
Right. So how did, Debbie, how did you become a cast member? Like, how did you want to work at Disneyland, and how did it happen?
Well, I loved Disneyland. It was mm-hmm. just so magical to me. So I first tried out for the parades 3 times, and I didn't get in. Those parade auditions are just crazy. All I wanted to do was dance in the parade. And then in my junior year in high school, my counselor at school suggested I sign up for the ROP program, the regional mm-hmm. occupational program, and that I take the entertainment park tourism class. And that put me at Disneyland. So that was... Yeah, so I got a high school grade for working at Disneyland.
That's cool. Yeah. So where, so when you went in, where did they place you after your interview?
Oh, there was really no interview because it was a virtual class, but we got to learn everything that the employees got to learn. Okay. And so they first placed me for 6 weeks in the little kiosk that's attached to Pirates of the Caribbean, where they sold apple fritters and coffee and hot chocolate. It's all, the little section that now sells, I think, had bread bowls for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
New Orleans Square. Uh-huh. And then for 6 weeks, they moved me to the camera shop on Main Street because I had a real interest in cameras at the mm-hmm. time. And then I got to do 6 weeks on Adventures Through Inner Space, which is where I met Dennis.
Okay. So we'll move to Dennis. And Dennis, how did you become a cast member?
It was after I graduated from high school mm-hmm. and was going to a junior college. And in the office, they had employment opportunities, and there was a sign that said Disneyland was hiring. Park policy was that you had to be within 90 minutes travel time, which is what I was. I was mm-hmm. Living in the city of Upland, which is above Ontario. I went and applied. Started out in foods at the Hills Brothers Cafe, which no longer exists. It's a store now. And then after the first summer, transferred into attractions.
Okay. And I forgot to ask, what, Debbie, what year was that when you became a cast member? Like when you were doing the high school program?
1981.
81? Okay.
Yeah.
And Dennis, what year was that when you hired in?
1974.
Oh, okay. So you were there a little bit longer. Had already been there for a while when.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he worked there 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
10 years before the mouse.
Yeah. Okay. So, Debbie, what? So you said you went to. So how long were you at each of those locations you were talking about? About
6 weeks.
Oh, okay. And you ended up at, let's see. So then you went there. I'm just trying to get a timeline because it's sure. interesting to see what was going on at Disneyland during that time, you know?
Yeah. I started in January, and my last time there as an ROP was in June. So okay. It was like 6 to 8 weeks. So you would do a few weeks in foods, a few weeks mm-hmm. in, they wanted you to get a kind of an overview of everything. So mm-hmm. you could figure out what you wanted to do. Also, as part of the class, they had, they would take you to hotels. It was to also, if you wanted to be a tour guide, or if you wanted to be a someone who plans people's vacations, or, mm-hmm. you know, they took us to the Bonaventure downtown in LA. They took us all over the place.
Well, that's neat.
So
that's...
it was a really neat program. Yeah. I'm glad I did it. Easy A.
So you said you were in, was it Mission to Mars is where you ended up eventually?
No, Adventures Through Inner Space.
Adventure Through Inner Space. That's right.
And that's and where I met Dennis.
Dennis. Okay.
Yeah.
So what year? So that was in 81, obviously. Yes. When you met each other. So Dennis, you were in attractions the whole, I mean, after you said you were in foods for a little while and then.
Yeah, I was in foods for the summer and then switched to attractions.
Okay. And what year?
I started before Space Mountain was open.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was 77, 76, 77.
Yeah. So it was under construction. And so one of the cast nights where you get to try out the ride before it's open to the public type of thing.
Oh, nice. So you were able to do that.
Yeah.
What was some of the conversation amongst the cast members that got to try it? Like, were they really excited about it?
Yeah, but we went in through, we didn't go through the whole queue line at the beginning. They just had us go through the exit area to go in. It was interesting. I mean, we liked it and everything. But at the same time, the cast members on the attraction, they're still learning the whole thing. So you had delays and the new system with the computer weighing each sled before it goes up, type of thing. So
That was the second roller coaster that was built. I mean, Matterhorn was 59. So this was an indoor one, and that whole area was transformed around pretty much around that Space Mountain.
It was.
Yeah. And when I switched to attractions, I ended up in Tomorrowland. That's the time when all the new costumes were polyester. Worthless in the summer and the winter.
Of course, yeah.
The costumes of the future.
That's right. They were all designed after the Space Mountain thing, which is the flared pants and the vest, and then a turtleneck type of shirt underneath.
Right. So did the, when you're in Adventure Through Inner Space at 74, it had only been open almost 10 years, I think about 7-8 years. So was that still a pretty popular attraction?
Yes, it was, remarkably, especially during the summertime. So it wouldn't get the lines like Subs did, or especially Space Mountain, but it would still get a relative crowd to go on it.
It was a free attraction, wasn't it? Most attractions required, you know, that you pay with a coupon.
Yeah, it was a C coupon.
It was a C ticket ride.
Yeah.
Wow.
Air conditioning, I guess.
It unfortunately is known as a makeout ride, obviously, because it's dark and it's slow.
Yeah.
Like to tease us because we met on the makeout ride at Disneyland. We were friends before we got together.
Yeah, I have to admit I was thinking, okay, yeah, they met. I was thinking the same thing. They met at Adventure Center Space. I wonder. You know,
well, you got a note. I was only 16 years old. He was 25.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. We just didn't have anybody our age difference when we were dating. So,
yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. The younger generations tend to have a bigger problem with that nowadays. You know, I mean, now obviously you're still together and everything, but if you pose that scenario now, people freak out, you know. So
I didn't know her age, mainly because when I signed up, I had to be 18. Mm-hmm. So I had no concept that there was high school courses going on, because we didn't have it out in Upland. I mean, nobody's going to travel from the city of Upland all the way to Disneyland, high school student. So I didn't know.
And I went to Loera High School, which is like a half a mile from Disneyland. So, right on Euclid.
Yeah.
off air, we could probably catch up on on the neighborhood. So anyway.
Yeah. So there was quite a few positions on that attraction, wasn't there, where you would switch? Is that something you would do? Would you switch off positions?
Yeah, there's a rotation system. You start at the turnstile, then you move to a load, which is a walking position because they're turnstiles. And then if it's crowded, and you have the extra employee. There's a back bridge area, which is inside the ride in the dark.
Oh.
And then there's an unload position.
Right.
Also on a turnstile. Because since it's constantly moving, you have to make sure nobody stumbles.
That's what I was going to say. It's similar to Haunted Mansion with the constant. It's an omni maneuver.
Yeah. It's the same buggies too. Doom buggies and automobiles.
Automobiles. Yeah. I did get a chance. You know, I'm a little younger, but I did get a chance to go on that. I don't remember when. I mean, it closed in what, 84?
It was 85. Okay, it was 85, and then they got ready for Star Tours. But
right,
I liked the attraction a lot. I remember it, and I can still remember running down Main Street. One, I think we just started getting our annual passes, and you know, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go on Adventures of Inner Space, and I get around the corner and it's walled off, and I'm like, you know, because I wasn't riding roller coasters back then. So something that took me on a journey like that was like, I liked that a lot.
Yeah, I was afraid of roller coasters until I got to be a little older. Now I love them.
Yeah. So. It was very unique. It was really different. I remember the eye staring down at you. I thought that was so weird. Yeah.
Dennis took me up to see the eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was really cool. It was a gigantic eye. And we climbed up this rickety ladder up to the top.
Oh,
of course, Lynn. You know, if the eye was freaking you out, all you had to do was take the ring off, and you wouldn't see it. Oh, wait a minute, wrong universe. Never mind.
That's right, wrong universe.
That's funny.
It was funny. The lead that was on the ride was hired by Walt Disney.
Oh.
And he was on the ride until it closed. Roy Brehm was his name. And what was Earl's last name? Earl was also on that ride all the time too. They were trying to pair us up. They kept drawing little pictures on stickers and stuff. Showing us couples kissing each other. they were having so much fun.
I imagine... I was going to say, imagine working something like a grad night would be interesting on that attraction.
Yes. again, that back area. You go back there, you have a flashlight. You're in the dark, but you can see perfectly well what's going on inside those automobiles.
Right. Your eyes adjust. And
Yeah. And they can't see you because the light is coming off of the images that are on the walls, especially the mouse ears, as we call them, the big atom.
The hydrogen or the water model molecules.
Yeah. It looks like Mickey Mouse ears when you turn the lights off. And so with that flashlight, you shine it and say, okay, you gotta stop doing what you're doing, because in a few minutes you're going to be outside.
Yeah, we don't want a custodial to have to come clean stuff up here.
Yeah.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, you know, you just have no concept of Adventures of Inner Space. Just it is, like we said, the Haunted Mansion ride system. It's the automobiles were the Doom buggies. It's just that they were blue instead of black. And but you know, you went in and you were miniaturized and you went into a water molecule. So in a snowflake. So
yes.
And that was the whole premise of it. It was a sci-fi experience.
And the last thing before you come out is the nucleus of the atom, which was basically a big glowing red ball on a pole. But you don't see the pole from your vantage point in the automobile, just this big glowing ball floating.
And one of the problems with that attraction is the sets were not built far enough away from the reach of the guests. And I think subsequent attractions, they learned to put what they call an envelope of protection, you know. And now you can't reach the sets, and even if you have like a 10-foot pole, you know, it's like, you know, they're trying to make it so that you can't tear apart the sets like people were doing in that attraction.
And inner space was mostly, like I said, everything's projected onto the thing, onto the walls. There's one area when you begin to shrink, which was basically a mirror room inside a glass case, so that it looked like a million molecules, and yet it's only like 12. And then after that, the mouse ear thing, that's colored lights projected on the mouse ears to look like three atoms doing whatever they do. The eye, the nucleus, everything's away. But for people who didn't understand the concept of do not use flash photography, their pictures all came out blank because everything's projected on the walls.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, there were giant snowflakes at the start. That was those were practical sets and not projections. But
yeah.
So, but originally it was sponsored by Monsanto, which, like some other companies, it's changed over the years. You know, there's been like acquisitions and mergers and things like that. So it's not. The company that exists now is quite different from the company it was from 1967 to 1975, but or excuse me, 1985. Well, they stopped sponsorship after a while. It was no longer sponsored by Monsanto in the later years, I remember. But
yeah, they still had the song playing, the Miracles from Molecules, played until the end.
Miracles from Molecules
are growing every day.
Yeah.
That's our theme song. Gosh.
Probably went home having that in your head all night.
Oh yeah, so it's not hard working unload.
Oh, I imagine.
On other attractions too, he worked on several attractions.
Yeah, what were some of the other attractions?
When I transferred to attractions, I started out on Utopia. Then learned subs back when they were gray and the outfits were blue. And the foreman was in the tacky khakis. Then Inner Space, People Mover. I was like the third male to learn America Sings because it was originally a predominantly female cast member attraction. Then when I got my A status for full time, learned Matterhorn, Snow White, Peter Pan, Carousel, Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean,
and wow,
yeah,
we're gonna have to do a multi-part series on
I wrote all those down. I have questions for each of them. So
he's got a lot of great stories.
Oh, I'm ready. So Utopia. That could be a hard attraction to work, I would imagine.
The difficulty there is there's a pedal on the outside of the car, which is basically how you bring a car into the pit stop again.
Yeah.
And to control it, because it's also the brake from the outside. And it's like you quickly learn how to jump onto a car that way. And how to avoid it when a car rams from behind, because I've been nicked a few times by those cars.
Injured.
Yeah, I can imagine. He's got a
permanent injury from one. So, wow. Yeah.
The things cast members do for the magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably had a problem. I mean, the main thing is people are always bumping into each other. Right, and that's the thing. Don't bump the car in front of you.
Right, but they do, and they don't realize that even though it has that metal bumper on there, we've seen those things snap. You know, because after a while it will break.
Yeah. Wow.
Fortunately, it doesn't affect the person inside the car, but.
Do you have any memorable stories about that attraction?
My memorable story about that attraction is basically when it rains, And people come to the park when it's raining, and then they complain about the fact that the seat's wet.
Oh yeah,
and you're mopping it up with a wet rag. It's like, it's not much I can do.
Right, you're in the rain all day. You're gonna get on a wet,
Oh my gosh!
And so you said you were on the subs. That classic attraction. How is that working, the subs?
The subs, it's basically a big tube with an engine behind it that you do in fact control, even though it's on a track. Mm-hmm. There's a knob in the inside that basically controls speed forward and backwards. And there's a kill switch pedal at the base that you have to keep your foot on, which is like if you immediately fall off, the pedal comes up and disconnects the power to the propellers.
Which happened to you.
which did happen to me because I banged my elbow getting into that tower area and hit my funny bone. And I started feeling that I was going to pass out, and I got on the radio and said, unit two to sub control. And that was the last thing I know. And then when I came to, I'm on the ground, which is quite a fall from that bucket box you're standing on. And the emergency lights are in the boat, and everybody's mm-hmm. looking, and they're going, what's going on? And somebody goes, oh, it's probably part of the show. Lying on the ground. And so then I had to get up, and the radio kept going, you know, sub control unit two. And I get on, and they go, what happened? The boat had drifted to a stop in the area where the squid is, which is underneath the polar ice caps. And they were getting everything ready to tow the boat in, but I said, I'm back, and came in. And we pull in, they get everybody out, and they had security there and a wheelchair. To take me off the security and pull the boat off type of thing. And this was all because this was the year that the Olympics were coming to LA.
Mm.
I thought terrorists took over the submarine.
And it's gosh.
No, I banged my elbow.
it's, you know, I'm sure some of the guests were like, wow, they're really committed to this fake scenario of, you know. Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, looks exciting for them.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And most of the other things are with subs, the two hatches are tough to keep down. You have to really stomp on them to make sure they're shut.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest issue, of course, is the waterfall. The two waterfalls, if the hatches aren't closed, they really shoot water in pretty fast. And you have lights to tell you that the hatch is closed, but sometimes mm-hmm. those lights may not work. And so when Uh-oh. You hear screams down below and you look down there and you see this spray of water coming through the front hatch, like, wow.
Uh-oh. So that's happened, I assume.
Yeah, it's happened to every sub driver. Yeah. Because it's hard to catch. I mean, you stomp on it from the outside and you pull up to see if it's latched. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes it just doesn't.
It's interesting. Disneyland, you know, we've talked to many cast members, and it's a lot of younger people. They're working at that, you know, hiring in, it's usually, and yeah. you'd like to have a lot of fun because when people are young, they like to have fun. Is there any kind of pranks or any kind of fun that you guys would do on that attraction?
On the subs.
Pranks on the subs. don't really do a whole lot of pranks because that boat,
mm-hmm.
Is a projectile in water,
right?
That if you're not paying attention, you ram the boat ahead of you, you stand a good chance of popping the portholes out.
Oh yeah.
And that apparently happened before I started working at Disneyland, because that was my first introduction to Disney legal team. Because they came on the boats and they're busy studying all the portholes and everything over something that happened years ago where the portholes popped out because the boat got rammed on the side when they were putting boats on, and the water rushed in, which basically then sinks the sub. Literally, it'll sink on top of the rail.
And so evacuate everyone.
Yeah, and it's popped the hatches, which of course really makes the water go in.
Oh yeah.
And everybody's climbing out, and that's my understanding of what happened. So that's why they always made sure that we pay attention to what's going on when we're putting boats on and taking them off. You have to make sure the boat is cleared from the gates to the holding pens.
Was there a speed limit? Like you could only go so they had it where you can only go so fast, or
you can only go the speed of the audio that's in the boat? Because unlike Jungle Cruise, a sub skipper just pushes a button and then there's a audio that comes with the ride that picks out everything that's in there. Because technically, you can't see anything, you're above water the whole time. Going into a tunnel, and all you see is the machinery that makes the fish turn around, a bunch of walk paths and lights, but you don't see anything underneath what the people are seeing.
It was like those catwalks. I had been back. Ken's been back there. And they had those little catwalks you walk on back there. And
And you don't want to stay in there anyways, because the diesel stuff just fills up the tunnel quite well.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, that's right. It was diesel then.
Yeah, it was a diesel submarine. That's pretty much it. I mean, whatever happens goofy-wise is generally if the attraction goes down and you have to tow a boat forward or backwards. And the one time when I got to be foreman, on the ride, one of the subs stalled out in the main lagoon, and the skipper got out of the boat, and then he stomped on the hatch. It's like, well, you can't stomp on the hatch because you have to get back in the boat.
Wow.
But he had to get out to grab the ropes so that he could hook up to the two submarines. And
oh, no.
Force a habit, you know,
because the radio's inside,
right? Yeah, exactly.
That's I mean, that's like, you know, if you're used to locking a door every time you go through it or whatever, and you do it when you're, it's like, wait a minute, there's somebody still out there, you know.
Unfortunately, the the crew inside or the people inside are probably going, oh, it's part of the show.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
I used to play off of people's perceptions that everything was artificial. Like when there'd be lightning, I'd go, it looks like real lightning, doesn't it? You know, they would be like, that's Disney lightning. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Disney manufactures their own lightning.
I didn't do that stuff until I got until I was on Jungle Cruise. You know, then you have a lot of opportunities for that. Subs, not really.
So before we go over there, I wanted to hit some of these attractions or this talk of them in Tomorrowland, because believe it or not, people are really excited about the People Mover. They really want those People Movers back. And I know that our listeners would love to hear some stories about working on the People Mover.
We would love the People Mover back.
Yeah.
Right.
People Mover is a massive turntable, so it's like working inner space. Both the load and unload is a walking position. It's pretty much the same way. You're controlling how the people get into each of the cars and stuff. The only problem with People Mover, well, a couple things. While you're working the load, you're supposed to watch the area above America Sings, because the People Mover comes out of Space Mountain, goes up that ramp, and then goes into America Sings, which at first was just the model of the town from Miracle.
It's a great big beautiful
The progress city model.
Yes.
And then they switched it to Tron. That was to make sure people would stay seated or not pass their child between the cars, which some do. That was pretty much it. And Unload is watching the vehicles coming in to make sure nobody's doing anything. But the biggest problem is when the attraction stops. And that's usually due to an emergency. You hit the kill switch and the whole thing stops. And unlike a lot of the attractions in the park, that was one that if it stopped, you had to physically go the whole track and unload the people and walk them off. So needless to say, it's a good thing I was young back then and able to run. You start from the load dock and you have to run all the way to the back bridge area of Utopia and start from there while the unload guy goes the other way and above the submarine lagoon. And you start popping these doors to each of the people mover cars to let the people out and march them in a long line to the exit.
I didn't realize until relatively recently that when it was first built, it didn't have the walkway next to it. That was added. So I imagine that there were times that it got, you know, people were just stuck out there for a while.
Because of the way that particular people mover works, the track has Uniroyal tires or whatever they were constantly talking about, which is what propelled the cars forward. And if everything stops, the minute you turn it back on, those cars had a tendency to hit each other. I mean, they are tandem cars. It's like four cars hooked together, but unlike the Utopia cars, which have bumpers, these technically didn't have a bumper. Just this plastic thing, which is a cover for the release cord to open up the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so you didn't want people to be in them because then they're going to complain about the things colliding with each other, and one will go fast and the other goes slow until it's cycled through a few times, and then they're back to normal.
Wow. So any fun stories that happened on that attraction?
Okay. Not to put people down, but this was a situation. You understand how you got onto the attraction. It was from the ground level. You had to take an escalator, which was basically a ramp type.
Yeah, speed ramp or whatever they call it.
Get up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So this couple came to me while I was at the turnstile. And it was basically one guy pushing this woman who's in a wheelchair. This woman had no legs. And rather heavy set shape, because if you're not moving a lot, you're going to get that way. And they wanted to get on the attraction. And I said, well, unfortunately, the only way you can get on to the people movers, you have to be able to get yourself on. I used the wrong words at this point. Mm. Get yourself on, meaning. Right. So they disappeared. And then the next thing I know, I look and here's this woman rolling on the ground like a ball up to the turnstile.
Ooh.
And I said, well, no, you can't do that because it's dangerous, because, you know, you could get snagged underneath the track or the wheels, or it's dangerous. You can't do that.
Yeah. So
then she sends her husband. Now, I didn't understand that the husband was blind.
Oh,
he was pushing the wheelchair, but he goes up. And the first thing he did was stick his hands underneath the cars.
Oh.
And so immediately, and I'm on down on the ground, so immediately they hit the button and shut off the ride because, mm-hmm. you know, a car could suddenly move forward and then he'd have his arms sliced off.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was the end of the day of hearing about them, but no. I heard later when I was in the locker that they went to the storybook ride and they were told the same thing. And then the woman did the same stunt, but went right off the dock into the water.
Oh, no.
And so security had to jump into the water and get her out. And then they found out that she had lice. So the guards had to take care of that situation. And then later, because it was still fresh in everybody's mind, mm-hmm. they were the last car in the parking lot. And she's in the back, totally asleep, and the guy sitting in the front seat. And security told him, I'm sorry, you can't stay here. And the guy mm-hmm. goes, what do you want me to do, drive?
Yeah.
And he's blind.
Well, how'd they get there?
Well, she was awake. She was
yeah.
awake.
Yeah, but... Okay.
Right, yeah, we I don't see. Know.
We don't know.
So that's my best people mover story.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I forgot to mention he also worked on Skyway too.
Oh. Yeah.
He was there the day the tornado hit Disneyland.
Oh, let's talk about that. A tornado?
Yeah. So the Skyway has a limit on the wind. There's a device inside both Skyway stations that keep track of the wind. And mm-hmm. if it goes over 12 miles an hour, you have to shut the ride down, pull the buckets off and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working Jungle Cruise at the time, and suddenly a major wind hit the park and it lifted up the umbrellas in a lot of the food court areas. But it came so fast that they didn't have a chance to do anything regarding the Skyway. What happened was the cable came disconnected from the wheels. Ooh. Now, fortunately, that cable went on the inside, which meant that it sat on top of the tower parts that hold the wheels that make the cable move.
Right.
So all the buckets are up, but the bad side is now the buckets can't move, and they have to bring in cherry pickers to get everybody off of those buckets.
Oh, no.
But that's where you learn the reasoning behind the speed and something I think of even down here, you know, the zoo has one of those skyways, mm-hmm. is that the skyway is basically held on to the thing by the two main wheels at each station, those big engines.
Right.
So that if the buckets had gone off the other way, the weight of those buckets and the cable would have pulled the two main station ones out into the street.
Oh.
From the weight.
Yeah.
And that could be a design flaw, but that's how skyways are designed. That's how mm-hmm. they work.
Wow.
And again, I had the issue with weather there. You know, why is it raining? Why don't you talk to the people and make Disneyland stop the rain? It's like, that's the wrong department.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His brother also worked on that ride as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Was that before you, after you, around the same time? Or?
We were never on the ride at the same time.
Okay.
For obvious reasons, you know, family.
Yeah.
But it was in the same period. Bob started at Disneyland a couple years after you, right?
Yeah. He's 3 years younger than I am.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And he stayed mainly in Fantasyland where I moved around.
Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned America Sings. Now, you started in 74, and I believe it opened in 74.
Yeah. But like I said, it, like Storybook at the time, mm-hmm. was mainly only women.
Right.
The cast members on those attractions. Few years after Space Mountain opened and everything, they decided to start having male cast members on America Sings. So I was like the third one they trained for that. I enjoyed the ride somewhat. I mean,
yeah, it's a nice show.
Sit there for 20 minutes at a time for that show.
He calls it America Screams.
Yeah. Because you had to sit on that chair. The chair, like the kill switch in the submarine, has to be depressed. And so you have to sit on it, as well as push a button to indicate that you're ready to go. Because that, if you remember, there was that big accident that happened where the woman
died. Deborah Gailstone.
Yes. Yeah. So because of that, they put in breakaway panels, and then the seat, and then the buttons to make sure that wouldn't happen. And if you're not turning on the light and sitting in that seat, you'll have five other rooms with people in it upset that you didn't sit down, because now you have to see the same act again.
Oh.
And you're going to get a lot of phone calls suddenly, you know, what's going on? Are you asleep?
So that happened, I assume.
Yeah, it's happened a few times. I mean,
yeah. Wow.
I would imagine the tough part of working that attraction was having to turn the crank to make the building move.
Yeah.
It's actually like Pirates of the Caribbean. There's a room underneath, and that's where the animatronics are repaired and stuff underneath. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. I always enjoyed that. As a kid, you know, I was young when I had gone that, and it was one of my favorites. I remember I even bought the record with all the music.
Yeah.
We listened to that one quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it because I love to sing, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's neat.
Knows that on long trips.
And then you mentioned Circle Vision, right?
I did not work Circle Vision.
Okay, I was thinking of something else. Okay,
Well, when he said America, I was thinking of the same thing, because he said America Sings, and I was thinking of America the Beautiful, or
that's true,
Journeys or whatever.
Circle Vision was basically AT&T employees.
Hmm.
It was like
Well, Debbie, I mean, I don't want to neglect what Debbie did at the park.
I didn't have as much to tell about my time there. I'm just proud that I met the love of my life there. All I can say is I found love at Disneyland, and we still go there. We go there a lot.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because. Yeah. You know, you guys met, were you guys involved in a lot of cast activities? I know there used to be, you know, there used to be like sports teams and movie viewings for cast members and things like that. Were you guys ever involved in anything like that?
I did the canoe races for 2 summers, designed the t-shirt logo for my team both summers.
You put some artwork in the Disney line too.
Yeah, I had some artwork in the Disney line.
What was the name of your team? Do you remember that?
testing out the memory now.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one was called Sully's Seamen, because we were the submarine crew.
Oh yeah, I like that.
And the t-shirt was Bluto. Holding one of the wheels from a sub in one hand and dragging a mermaid in the other.
Oh.
I forget what the after that was, but it was again Bluto, but his head had bursted out of the top of the sub. Mm-hmm. And the portholes all had oars in them, some of them broken, and the mermaid's towing the submarine.
That's great.
So...
I didn't get to participate in any of that stuff. I was there on a program. So
would you two hang out? Would you like hang out off the clock at the park or anything like that?
Yeah. If I worked the closing times, which before I became permanent, I'd be working closing. So you get out at 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right.
So we'd go to either Mari's Pizza or Hojo's across the street.
Yeah.
A little while and blow off some steam.
Yeah. And then we were there a little bit after, sometimes when after we got married and I wasn't working there anymore. We would go there once in a while. We did go to the opening of the new Fantasyland.
Oh, nice.
And Kevin Costner was playing Prince Charming that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was when he was working at Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
That was
all,
fun.
All roads lead back to Disneyland.
Yes. I still have the t-shirt from that.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah. No, but I didn't get to do any of the after because, to be honest, I worked at Knott's for a summer. So
it's okay. Yeah.
Knott's was fun.
We don't hold that against you. That's a good place. I liked it.
It was fun. Yeah. I worked in a restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
The Camp Snoopy opened.
Oh, okay. But as a cast member, like Dennis was obviously able to invite you to the cast, the Christmas parties and different things like that, right?
I didn't go on any Christmas parties or anything like that.
No.
One, I didn't hear about them. And two, again, I was living out in the city of Upland. Like a 90-minute drive. I mean, I had a hard enough time with grad nights with that drive, or the first time they did the Disney Steen open for 24 straight hours thing was tough because it's like you had 8 hours between your shift, which was the law. But if you're driving 90 minutes, you have far less time sleeping.
Yeah, the eight hour turnaround was always hilarious because by the time you get home and you're changing into costume, changing out of costume, all that stuff, it's just like, oh my gosh.
Wasn't changing your costume at home. They had locker rooms.
Yeah, this is before. I guess now they take their costumes home, but before,
everything was there. You left it there. You didn't take it home.
Right. So. You better not take it home back in those days.
Yeah.
although he's got a couple things. He's got a jacket.
Yeah. I think most people have something. Yeah.
We both have our name tags.
Yeah. I have mine. Yeah.
And I do have to say, I did get hired in as an employee for Christmas about 6 months after I was in the program. But my father had a strict curfew for me and I wasn't allowed to be out past 10, even if it was working. And my dad made me quit. I was put at Coke Terrace and they wanted me to stay until midnight, and my dad called my supervisor and said, "She's quitting because she can't be out past 10. So, my dad was pretty strict. So, he said that doesn't happen after 10.
But you were there long enough to meet your husband. So,
Well, I'd already met him. We were dating at the time.
Yeah.
So, we didn't actually start dating till I turned 17, which was in July. We were just real good friends. We were talking on the phone and we liked the same music and we liked a lot of the same stuff. So,
oh, neat.
Yeah. But when he found out how young I was,
would your dad think of that, or did he know?
Oh, no, my dad knew, and my dad actually liked Dennis all over every other boyfriend I had had before. So,
good.
They look like clean cut America because you had to have short hair and,
the classic Disney look,
yeah,
which has gone by the wayside, and it's still kind of jarring to me.
It is to me as well. It's like everybody has a party, even the women.
As far as I knew, he was 18 years old. I didn't know he was 25 when I met him.
Right,
but he was much more fun than the guys that were my age. So
there you go.
And I was his first girlfriend. So
Oh my gosh, that's one of the things we didn't really cover too much in our books, finding love at Disneyland.
Romances,
Yeah.
Here, let's see, neither one of us married somebody that we met there, but you know, my wife did work there, but yeah, we didn't meet because of that, but yeah.
Yeah, the ad for Disney at the time when I worked there was it could only happen at Disneyland.
And the best man from our wedding still works there.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, he drives the fire engine on Main Street.
Oh, is that
Steve?
Yeah, Steve had his locker right near mine.
Yeah, he was the best man in our wedding.
We're still working
with him. Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. I saw Steve last week. He doesn't know me, but I saw him drive by. I was there last week. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lifer.
Nice. Yeah. We need some of those there, you know?
Yeah.
Turnover is so high anymore, it seems. But, well, what haven't we covered so far?
Jungle Cruise, Matterhorn.
Well, he didn't work. Matterhorn he worked on. He didn't work much on Matterhorn, right? But you worked a lot more on Jungle Cruise. He has Jungle Cruise stories. He was there the day that Marine got into the canoe and dumped the heads in the water and they were drunk. That was pretty fun.
Oh, let's hear about that.
Jungle Cruise. So as you know, you have that spiel that you're supposed to say, and sometimes there's variations that you'll do, but you had to watch out in case supervision was in the boat. But I came around and the native village, as you leave the hippo pool, I came around and I said, and over here is... And then I saw this guy standing in the middle of the natives, the jumping up and down natives with the spears because they're all dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's something you don't see every day.
Yeah.
So I came in and told the foreman, there's a guy in the native village. And then the next boat comes in behind me and said that the guy got into the canoe that had the heads on it, the skulls.
Yeah.
And the boat. And so we had to stop all the boats where they were. You know, you fire off the three shots and boats all stop. And security came out. By that time, the guy had knocked the skulls out of the boat and he was paddling backwards to the safari camp where the gorillas are. They pulled most of the boats off except mine. And so they had a security guard and the foreman all got on my boat. And then we had to go backwards into the jungle and slowly. And all I could think of was the fact that Apocalypse Now was a big movie at the time. So I'm going into the jungles. Some people who fought in Nam to go after the Marines. So basically what it was, and the guy had broken the pistol that one of the gorillas had, which is basically it's a foam rubber pistol. And they eventually did catch him. We didn't catch him when we went in, but they caught him. But they had a big problem with all the Marines there. They had just finished with maneuvers. So they were basically overzealous and intoxicated. So when I clocked out, there's this big gray bus with bars on it outside the clock shop waiting for all the Marines.
Oh.
They had been causing havoc in the park all over the place. So.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I thought you said they had broken the spears, too. In the
No,
maybe not.
No, just the gun.
Just the gun. But yeah.
Plus the fact that we couldn't move the boats because the skulls were in the water, which meant they were in the area of the track. And the Jungle Cruise boats easily derail if there's any slight deviation on something.
Right.
Yeah. He had fun in Jungle Cruise.
Are you crazy?
Don't go on long trips with this man. because he will do what Jungle Cruise spiel if we get stuck in traffic.
Oh, I love it. That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. We're pirate reenactors at Renaissance fairs. And so one year I was given the challenge to do the Jungle Cruise at the fair as a pirate. And so I had to change some of the words of the spiel. And so my crew and I, they basically got in the position to look like they're in a Jungle Cruise boat, which isn't easy to walk this way. And I'm up the front. I have the steering wheel. I managed to be able to turn a steering wheel on my finger to look like the boat, go through the ride. And I made the Royals, Queen Elizabeth's Court, the hippo pool. They didn't understand what was going on as we go by in this weird grouping. And I'm saying that they're only dangerous when they're wiggling their ears and blowing bubbles.
We had so much fun with that.
We even had the backside of the ale stand joke.
The backside of water.
And then we would come back to where we started, the loading dock, and actually did the unloading people out of this boat.
Oh, great.
Which is just evil. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And as you can guess, we're really into Pirates of the Caribbean. Our house is all Pirates of the Caribbean theme.
Oh, that's great. I love that attraction.
We do too. We ride it 3 times first time when we get there every day when we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's
people
great.
People are crazy. We get on and we get off. We get on and we get off.
Do you have any fun stories about pirates?
The thing that my most memorable thing about pirates is the training. It's the most fun training that I've ever had at Disney. And that has to do with you have to know where all the exits are in case you have to evacuate the ride. Mm-hmm. So the trainer would sit up in the control tower and there'd be 3 of us being trained, and he would send us to each of us to a different spot. And when we got there, we'd have to call on the phone and tell him where we're at. And then he'd go, okay, now you have to go to this part. You know, and we'd be running past each other a lot of times calling in. So that was a lot of fun. You know, and obviously the island itself, which is the middle part when you're in there, because the river, after you've come down the waterfall, is going around an island to go back up the fall, is pretty cool because that's where the Mylar is in some of the animatronics being repaired.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool. The other odd thing is because you don't want people to realize that there's walkways involved, that crossing from one side to the island has to be done in a way where it doesn't look like you're an actual person. So a lot of times you freeze and look like a pirate animatronic. Move on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We just love that ride. That ride is, for us, that's home. We call that home.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is our favorite ride at Disneyland. That, and we love the new Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad.
That is really good. That surprised me. I had no idea what I was getting into. And when I wrote that, I thought they put a lot of work into this. It was very good. Yeah.
Yeah. We like ours better than Florida. Florida doesn't have a good queue line like ours does.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So yeah, I haven't done the version in Florida. So, and ours didn't take away a really great attraction.
No.
That they had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wasn't that where the great movie ride was? Or?
Yep. Yep. One of my favorites.
And I wanted to ride that so bad. And I'm so sad. It wasn't there when we went on our honeymoon.
Oh.
And then it wasn't there when, and it wasn't there when we went last September for our 40th wedding anniversary. So we were like, dang, we missed it.
Jeez. Yeah. What kind of place doesn't allow you to experience something if you don't come back, you know, more often than 40 years, you know, yeah. Once every 40 years, I guess.
We couldn't afford to go back, and we paid an arm and a leg to go to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Well, next time book with Lynn, he can save you. Lynn does Disney travel, so.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend that with Castle Creations, that's the name of her travel agency, yeah. And she booked everything beep. For us.
Yeah, Lynn has to beep that out.
No, but anyway, she booked everything for us, and she even got up early in the morning and got us on the Tron ride. She got us.
Oh, good.
Queue. That's why you go with it. That is why you go with a travel planner. So that's because they do that stuff, like, you know, like Lynn does it for a bunch of people. Bunch of our listeners have gone through because they know Lynn does it, but
Well, Lynn, if we go again, we'll remember you. Okay.
Okay, that'd be great. I would love to help you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think we wound up spending about $6,000 on our trip, and that was minor compared to what some people pay.
Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
It's a major endeavor. But it's you know, if there's no place else in the world like Walt Disney World, and there's really no place that's quite like Disneyland either. I mean, we've got, you know, the original, and we've got a park right next to it, you know, where you can park hop just right away, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. We like California Adventure, but we prefer to go into Disneyland. It's
nothing
just
wrong with that. Nothing but wrong with that at all.
People, we're home. We're home. This is home. Yep. But somebody else. Yeah. Because neither one of us have our parents anymore. They've all passed away. So we have no home other than our own home to go to. So we call Disneyland home.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. That's, I try to explain it to people, like, you know, think of it like back when that show was on Cheers, you know, it's the hangout. If you're a regular there, and that's your hangout, and you know, the people you know are there, and it's familiar surroundings and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some cast members that remember us. There's one cast member that remembers me, because another little tidbit about me is I'm a Mary Lincoln reenactor. So I always have to go into great moments with Mr. Lincoln to visit my other husband. And because there's a couple of cast members that work great moments with Mr. Lincoln that remember me as the lady who is the Mary Lincoln reenactor. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah.
So,
wow.
And it was closed last time we were there because he was down for his slotted rehab, and I was so sad I couldn't visit him.
Yeah, it's going to be down a while. I'm interested to see what will happen when it reopens.
Yeah. I love that. That's the one thing I always do every time. It's the last thing I do before I leave is great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Oh.
Just the words, the speech is just, it's empowering. So.
Yeah. I hope they never get rid of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I know we can go on, and I want to save time for next time because I think there's still a lot more stories to be told, but I wanted to thank both of you for coming on.
Sure. Yeah. Anytime. If you ever want to talk to us again, we're available.
Yeah, we'd love to.
As long as it's not around Comic-Con, we're good.
Okay.
We have San Diego Comic-Con next month. We worked that event.
Oh, okay.
Is there anything you want to plug, you know, promote while we have you here?
As you said, we're at Comic-Con. So Thursday night of Comic-Con, we have a show that we do at 8 o'clock. This will be our 31st year of doing this.
It's not Disney-related, though.
It's great. A Star Trek show, but we do Klingons. We started doing this originally with just the pain stick ceremony that people remember, but then I started scripting it, and it's been different every year, which gets tougher and tougher, of course. It's very humorous because I never do anything serious, probably because I worked at Disneyland. I don't know. But It's a lot of fun, and my cast is really enjoying this year's presentation.
It's Thursday night, July 25th at 8 p.m. in room 5A and B at San Diego Comic-Con.
And there is a fight sequence in there with the Bat-Leths, so.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because we do sword fighting, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually do sword fighting demos at a Renaissance fair here in San Diego.
Wow.
Well, you two sound like highly fascinating people.
Yeah, it's great.
You two as well. You two seem fascinating too.
Well, thank you.
We go up to Anaheim all the time, so you want to get together for lunch.
We could always do that.
But
thank you for coming on. We need to have you back, and thank you for sharing your stories with us.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. We had fun.
Ken, another show. Another episode.
Another great episode. Another one where I wanted to, I could just talk to these people a lot longer. Definitely have to have them back on. Right. We're going to have a huge backlog of people we need to have back on.
I know.
But I know that there's probably going to be somebody who's going to comment, you know, they're going to send us an email about, you know, their ages, the ages of, now, I mean, this couple, they're married all these years, they're, you know, they've been married a long time now, they're still together. She was awfully young when they met. You know, it's back in the 70s. I'm not saying that you know, obviously the system's on the up and up. It wasn't a situation where he was like taking her away from her parents and brainwashing her and stuff like that. So I did want to acknowledge that. You know, they sound like a really lovely couple.
And I will say this though, that she had mentioned her father was really strict, and if he was really strict and liked Dennis, then there you go. You know, that tells you what kind of character Dennis is.
She mentioned he, you know, was his first girlfriend. So it's not like he was this guy who was going around, you know, picking up these teen girls, you know.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to acknowledge that. I save you, you know, unless you've already fired off the email to us, I'll save you writing the email. you can hear stories like that all the time. If you talk to your older relatives, you know, your grandparents, great grandparents, things like that. It's like, you know, situations like that where you had marriages like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought they have some really great stories, and we'll definitely have to have them back on. But this is a time in the program where we kind of recap things. We let you know some important information. We read reviews if we've got them. We love getting reviews, especially if they're positive.
Yeah, they have been for a while, for now. And no, just kidding. So I'm going to read one actually right now. And this one is, this was last Sunday. So it just says Sunday. It doesn't have the date. I don't know what that was. This is the middle of June of 2024. So we have the title. It's called Obscure Disneyland History from Radcliffe C. 5 stars. It says,
ooh.
Yeah, I know. That's the highest you can give. So says, Lynn and Ken do an excellent job interviewing former cast members and giving a behind-the-scenes look at how the magic happens. I enjoy listening to all the cast stories that other podcasts don't. I highly recommend this podcast to any Disneyland fan. Wow. Thank you so much.
Wow,
really
thank you.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, boy. I'm glad that people enjoy this program. I enjoy it, and you know, but I'm glad that other people enjoy it too.
You know? It's okay. I mean, no. No,
you would like it a lot better, except for the co-host. You know, it was
all right. But that review goes along with what we were just talking about, having former cast members on and talking about the stories, and they are fun to listen to. So, and we will continue. That is something we will always continue to do, along with history. We'll never stop talking about history and cast member stories. All right. Well, we hope to see you at D23 if you're heading there. We obviously have a little less than 2 months from now. So things are getting close. You know, more is coming out about what to expect there. And we'll probably be reporting more as we hear more about what to expect there soon. So wanted to thank you so much for listening. Remember to check out our show notes at thesweepspot.com. You can get information there and signing up for the Patreon. You can buy our second book that's autographed. You can find links to the audiobooks and links to buy the books on Amazon. All the information about us is there, so check that out. All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk with you next time.